Good afternoon, this is Paul Sigrist for the National Park Service. Today is Thursday, September 16th, 1993. I'm at the Ellis Island Recording Studio using the portable digital machine with Mary Asadurian.
Asadurian.
Mrs. Asadurian came from Turkey. She is Armenian, born in Turkey. She came to America in 1920.
20.
She was 16 when she came to this country. Also in the room is her daughter, Barbara Dorian.
My daughter-in-law.
But daughter-in-law.
She's my daughter-like.
Okay.
Yeah.
And her last name is D-O-R-I-A-N, Dorian. Anyway, welcome. I'm
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Can we begin by you giving me your maiden name?
My maiden name was Maryam Ohanian.
Can you spell that, please?
Maryam, M-A-R-A-M, Ohanian, O-H-I-A-N, Ohanian.
Barbara?
O-H-A-N-I-A-N.
O-H-A-N-I-A-N.
That's correct.
And do you know what your date of birth was?
1904, January 10.
January 10th, 1904. Can you tell me where you were born?
One part in the Turkey they call Everek, which is a city which we had mayoralty. So, but my grandparent was Doramachian, my mother's side. My father's side, we were Ohanian.
Can you spell your mother's side of the family?
D-O-U-G-H-R-A-M-A-G-I-A-N.
I see.
That's Doramachian.
That's a long
name. It's a long name.
Can you also spell the name of the town?
E-V-E-R-E-G, Everek.
And whereabouts in Turkey is that?
Geographically, I don't know much because I didn't have much education. I was only 7 years old when the Turks started massacre.
I see.
I am the one of the survivors.
Well, what we'll do is we'll talk about what you remember about life before the Turks began the massacre, and then we'll talk about what
All
you
right.
remember about the massacre. When you were a little girl, you said both your mother's side of the family and your father's side of the family lived in this town.
In this town.
Can you describe the house that you lived in?
The house I lived in was had a big backyard with a step to go up to the to go to the
the second story?
Patio.
Patio.
We had the vine tree all the way from the ground. It had to come to that patio, covered all the patio. It was a big patio. Under the patio was our barn, which we always had horse sheep. For a long time, they used to keep those sheep to have fresh milk. But because my mother couldn't take care of it, they had to give it up. After that, when the war started, although I was only six, seven years old, but from their emotion, I could tell what's going on.
Before that happened, let me ask you some more about your house. How many rooms did you have in the house?
In the house, we had a room. We used to call winter room.
Winter room.
Winter room.
Like a hearth, a fireplace.
Yeah, a fireplace. In the winter, it was like a closet like this that we used to use that for the winter. If another place was like a closet, it was outside, and this was under patio. It was on the patio. I can't remember so good. So this stove was on the patio. In the summer, my mother used to use that herb for cooking. But it was very pleasant. And if you sat there, sometimes when I didn't feel good, they used to make me sit down there where the blanket was warm over the herb. I used to watch all the mountain, all our, we had 60 apricot trees. All on the mountain, when it was in the, I still visualize. That time, I didn't know the difference, being a child. Sometimes, because I visualized, we had a beautiful scenery. that
now,
time.
You had all those apricot trees. Did you sell the apricots or did you?
No, my mother, my father, we used to pick it up during the fall. They used to dry it up. They used to make soup and dessert through all the winter. Then through all the winter, not only, we had one pear, one side was this, one apricot tree, one side sweet, the pit was sweet. We used to eat like almond, and the other one was dry, we couldn't eat it. But my father was very good grafter. Well, we had all the trees. We didn't miss anything. We had everything.
Can you describe for me on tape how your father would graft the trees?
I think the way I remember, he used to cut from the small branch, a small branch, and cut up a little bit more on the, because I used to go with him. Being a little one, I was holding somebody's hand all the time, and that's how I know. Otherwise, my mother didn't know, because she didn't go to the garden with me where the apricot trees were. She used to cut from the big branch a little bit. From that, the small one, she used to put there, tape around it.
Tape around it. So would you have like an apricot tree that had a pear branch?
Sometimes they had, because he used to graft it. Only one, we had one tree, one pear tree, we used to call winter pear. My mother used to put that in the cellar, hang with the branches. We used to eat that in the winter. But the other one, they used to call honey pear, which it used to taste like honey. When you bite it, it used to taste. Sometimes that part of the garden was different part where we were. When we went there, sometimes my father used to say, it tastes like honey. Mary, don't you want to taste it? I didn't want to eat. It was too much for me. But I still visualized that tree, the pears hanging down, which it tasted like honey.
Well, that's interesting. And tell me some more about other foods that you ate when you were growing up.
We had apricot. Our apples, which was near our garden, didn't grow much. It used to get moldy. Didn't grow much, but I think we didn't care so much for apple. But our major was apricot and grapes. Grapes was different land. We had few kinds of grapes.
Now, what did you do with the grapes?
With the grapes, they used to make some of them was suitable for raisins. And some of the grapes were suitable to make wine.
Can you tell me how they made raisins?
Raisins, I could see. They used to put, when it was season time, they used to put all the grapes with the bunches on the ground to dry. And then they used to bring it home when it's dry.
How long would it take for the grapes to dry?
It depends. I don't know that much, but I think it depended on the weather. If it's a dry weather, usually where we were, almost dry weather. We hardly get rain in the summer. Especially in the summer, they hardly get rain. One day, one of our neighbor was a farmer. They used to go to farming in different Greek section. So I had told, as for my aunt used to tell me this in this country. I was only 4 years old. I said, Mrs. Kevorkian, don't go today to the farm. It's going to rain. They laughed at me. I said, four-year-old child, it's going to rain. A weather like this. They caught in the rain. They got in the blizzard. All their animal, which they used to bring vegetable, all scattered all over the Greek section. So every time they went, sometimes when marketing, when going to the farm again, they used to say, Mary, come here. How is the weather is going to be? They used to make fun of me.
Sort of the local weather girl, I guess.
So,
what about vegetables? What kind of vegetables did they grow?
Vegetables, as I said, my mother didn't want to work farming work much. But we used to rent from the Turks few acres, or I don't know, 1 acre or so. They used to grow the vegetables for us. In the summer, we used to go there. My father used to go there. I used to go with him too, as I said, always holding my hand. We used to go there too, pick up it. They used to grow it, but we used to pick it up. My father used to pay for that.
And what kinds of vegetables did you eat?
Most of the time they had, I think, tomatoes, eggplant, pepper, and then what is parsley and Swiss chard. because there was some kind of a Swiss chard. They used to dry that for the winter, to eat for the winter, because in the winter it's not like here. They don't have vegetable. You have to depend what you dry.
And did you get snow in this part of Turkey?
Oh, yes, a lot of them. The mountain of the, we call Ergias, which is a tall mountain, you could find snow. Some village boys, Turks, used to bring with animals to sell the snow to Armenian, to the, from that mountain. You could see all the white, even in the summer.
Do you remember when you were a little girl, a bad snowstorm?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me what you remember?
That storm was so much. It used to come, they wouldn't clean the street. It used to cover the entrance of the house. So we used to go under the snow to go out. They used to make a place, because when it freezes, it stands up. When it stands up, they make a room to come out from the house.
Like a little tunnel.
Like a little tunnel. Until it, by nature, that part melts down.
Now, how would you heat your house when it got that cold?
When they used to have, most of the time, they had wood or coal. Coal was expensive, but people, we had a special place. Certain time, they used to use, what do you call that thing? You put wood in it to burn.
Like a fireplace.
Fireplace. Sometimes they, but in the winter when it was cold, they used to use the coal, which we had on the ground. We had another herb. They used to put the table on the top. And in the herb, they used to use the coal. We used to sit down there to warm ourselves. And we have one more thing was very interesting for me. We had a room. In that winter room, we used to call it, there was a window, a little window. We used to call them pilot. There was a little bit, taragin içkisen, tarak, a little bit space to put the pilot lamp. It used
like
to go
a sill, a
like
window
a sill. Well, like a window sill. They used to put that. That was, we didn't have electric. We had, we used to run by kerosene. And that thing, it used to light both rooms. The other from the room when we went outside in the next room, where there used to be water to drink for us, because we had to have water in the room all the time if we needed. And that, I don't remember much what, I think there was a toilet too, but we didn't go out. And during the day, there was in the bottom floor, ground floor, they had a small place. Sometimes they used to have a man to clean if it's filled up. Otherwise, comparing, my uncle was here, when I talk like this, he wouldn't understand me. You were so little, how can you remember? But I tell you, a couple of weeks ago, they showed on the here on the television how the children, how much the children know. I knew how much the children know because I knew myself.
You have a good memory.
Good memory.
Tell me about the furniture in your house. What kind of furniture?
Furniture,
did you have?
We had sofa and chairs like this, but the sofa was all one wall. You could see all on the wall.
Was the furniture homemade, or did you purchase it somewhere?
I think they purchased it. Or some men come, according to your room, they used to make it, and make it sofa on it, too, to make it comfortable. That's one room called summer room. When we had company, they used to sit there. But in the winter, we didn't have. We had chairs, and most of the time we used to sit on the ground. Even when we ate, we had a table on the ground to sit there. And we used to sit around the table to eat our meals. And before we started to eat, we had to do the praying. We, especially the children, had to be praying all the time.
And what religion is this? Is this Armenian Orthodox?
Yeah.
But do you remember one of the prayers that you said in Armenian?
Oh, yes, all of them. I still pray.
Would you very slowly say one of the prayers that you would say before you eat in Armenian on tape for us?
Oh, Jashagetsu, Khagagutyam, Izgeragurus, Vorbatsrasyalemes, Idiarune, Ortnyale Deri Barkev is yours. Amen.
And what does that mean? Thank you.
That means that the table which has readied for us, we pray. I know the word. We write judgment. We give right judgment. You be thank you for it, which you're giving is to have those to be prepared. It's a beautiful. I can't make the right judgment because the translation is
doesn't come out right.
It means so much different.
And was it important that you say a prayer every time before you eat? Was that very much part of?
Oh yes, every time we eat. And another thing, until my father didn't start, because we were eating from one pot, until my father didn't stop eating, the children never start eating.
So,
never.
So
we had to wait until my father started after praying, and then we used to go slowly, not to go fast right away. That bothered me in the orphanage. I got a lot of things to tell you. How long a time you have?
We have lots of time. But can I ask you about when you sat down at table to eat, what kind of utensils did you have?
We had forks. We had a big plate, because we were eating all from the same plate.
Was the plate made out of porcelain?
Not metal. You most of the time was metal. So cooking and everything was metal. They had grates to put on the outside far to make the cooking. So, but cooking, I don't know much because I wasn't old enough to see what's going around.
But you often ate out of a single dish.
Always on single dish.
That's interesting.
So that's a single dish. And everything, well, the other room that I call the first room, they had few preservation like hard cooked tomato paste, not sauce, I think, didn't last. But they knew how to make the paste to last all winter. So that's how it goes. But
and because it was so cold, it was important.
Important,
that you stored so much
yes.
Food.
It was.
We've kind of gotten a little sidetracked.
Yeah, I know.
And let me ask you about your dad, since we did just bring him up.
My father was the youngest of the family.
What was his name?
Ohan. He was Ohan Ohanian.
O-H-A-N?
The same, yeah. So he used to have general store. He starting from hairpin, everything else in it, like yard goods, eating, like sometimes halva. You know what halva is? They make with tine. Sometimes they sell in the supermarket, I mean, in the deli market. He used to sell things like that. When village Turk came, he could find something there to buy to make something for him to eat.
So like household goods and food?
Food
and
everything. Everything.
Was his father in that business?
Yes, he was in that business. So when I went, he didn't come home for lunch. I used to take his lunch from home. When my mother gave me, you know what? It was like a pail, different kind of small plates put one on top of the other, on each other. I used to steal from the handle and carry it to his store for his lunch. It's also that utensil was very handful because it used to carry from soup to up to dessert to take his lunch there.
And he worked there every day? That
every
was
day.
Store.
Every day until the massacre started.
What was your father's personality like?
Oh, he was, I can't tell him, he was so kind, so decent. I never heard like here sometimes they holler each other. Never anything like that. In my house, we were always happy. We were always happy life, calm life.
It was a nice family.
Nice
life.
Family life.
Did you know his parents, your grandparents, on your father's
no,
side?
No, because being the youngest, I tell you one thing. Being the youngest, I didn't have much. But what I had, sometimes, as I said, the child knows a lot. He had a sister who was fat, Every time I being a little, that time when my mother took me there, she used to carry me on her stomach. Because she was fat, my uncle always left when I explained to him here. Every time she left or coughed, it wiggled. It made me jump up and down. So anyway, every once in a while, Turk used to attack us.
And this is before the massacre?
Before the massacre. Just... They used to do that before the massacre. But being our house near the gardens or wherever the vegetables growing or the wine or something, it was very easy for them to come first to us. One day they were coming. They said sometimes they used to tell, they could tell that they coming. My grandfather, everybody, they took us near the church. When something like that happened, we had a grandparent there, which they donated the ground to the church. Being donated to the ground, that house was near the church. Something like this always happened. We used to go to that house to sleep all the family. But my grandfather didn't want to go.
This is your grandfather on your mother's
side? On the father's side. On the father's side. He didn't want to go. They begged him to go. They said, I'm an old man. What are they going to do to me? But listen to this. When they came in front of our house, we had a small garden. And there was a, we used to call a bee house. We had the whole building was beehives. Beehives. So when the Turks were coming, they burned the bees with bee in it. So my grandfather said, what do you want from the bees? They don't do anything to you. Why you want to burn them? They shot him. They shot him where there was. So they burned all the birds with it, the house too. But at my age, my father had built it again. He didn't have as many as his father had, but we had always honey in the house to eat.
So even before the massacre, the Turks thought very little of Armenian life. They were perfectly happy to...
If they left them alone. So anyway, so this is how my childhood was.
Let's talk about your mother. What was her name?
My mother was Dora Machian.
Can you spell that?
Like
you did already.
Yeah, well, anyway.
What was her first name?
Well, Tırvanda.
Can you spell that?
Tırvanda means perpetual flower, never wilts.
Armenian names, women's names are wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, can you spell that?
Tırvanda. Tırvanda.
And what was her personality like?
She was like a doctor too. When when everybody went got something wrong or something, even dying, they used to come to my mother. She knew how to mix leaves and roots to make dye.
Do you remember some of her remedies, some of the things that she did to heal people?
One of them was this. She used to grind the soap and put some sugar on it. That we used to use that for salves. That she knew so many things, I don't know.
Salve, like ointment.
Ointment. She used to do so many things that time. I think maybe that I saw it. Otherwise, I wouldn't remember what she did.
Do you remember being ill as a child?
We had. I lost one of my brother from the. You get the sickness from your throat.
Like cholera or typhoid or.
Strep throat, maybe. That time, even in this country, they didn't know what to do with it.
How old were you when your brother died?
Must be, I think, I hardly remember the burial, because they didn't take me.
So you were quite young.
I was quite young.
What can you tell me what you do remember about your brother dying?
I remember that one night he couldn't breathe. Why I was sleeping on the top of the verde, I said, during the winter we used to sleep there in that counter. I saw from there my mother was crying because she wasn't able to do him to take his breath. That I remember. Until now I visualized. He couldn't breathe. That night he died. But they didn't take me for the funeral.
You said you were the youngest. How many?
No, at that time I was the eldest.
Oh, at that time.
My family, I was older from my father's second. My mother was my father's second wife.
Oh, how did your parents meet? Do you know?
Oh, they always make up, you know, matching. Like they match me too.
So your father actually had children then with his first wife?
Oh, yes.
Did they live in the house with you?
Not in the house with me. They all had houses their own. But my mother was respected from every one of them because she was a gentlewoman.
Was there a big age difference between your mother and father?
Well, I don't know how much. I don't know the age. But they liked his first wife. Families matched my mother to my father. They were they knew each other. They said to Trivanda, we want you to come to our sister's place. We don't want anybody else. This was their sister's place. That's how they met.
Do you know how his first wife, did she die?
I think she died from, they used to talk about it, birth time.
When she was giving birth.
Birth time, because they told her not to eat certain things. She wanted to eat. That made the, I think that's who used to, the big one used to talk. They don't tell me, but I used to hear that when they talked. That's made her die.
Did your mother ever tell you any stories about when you were born, about giving birth to you?
When I was born, yes. We make the Christmas 3 days. That's how I know my birthday. Otherwise, I don't know exactly my real birthday.
Christmas is 3 days.
3 days. They used to make, we have 3 days prayers after Christmas. We were invited to grandmother's house. We stayed there 3 days. My mother was pregnant. When we came home.
Pregnant with you?
With me. When after 3 days, when we came home, the second day or something, somebody came saying, congratulations, you have a granddaughter. That's how I made my birthday, January 4th, because by the time the Christmas was over, it was must be January, because we make the Christmas January 6th. By the time they went home, I must have born January 10th. I gave time in between to make a birthday.
Now, so name me your brothers and sisters then, from your mother. How many other kids did she have?
My mother had, they said, if you nurse the baby, you wouldn't become pregnant. But she did come pregnant. I had a brother, 7 years old at that time, or 5 years old, I think. So maybe I was that time. Maybe 9 months later they came because they didn't know protection. So he also got, that's the one who got died from the stroke at the throat sickness.
What was his name?
Grigor. It means Grigory. Gregory.
K-R-I?
Gregory. Make a Gregory.
Okay.
So when, as I said, when he died, they didn't take me to the funeral. After that, when she had another baby, they still wanted to put Gregory again. Then her side of the family, they got angry at her, saying, you put Gregory 2 times, you lost it, you're not going to put another name, Gregory. You have to put something, new name. So they put his name, Suren, which she was in this country. He died 2 years ago.
And that's S-U-R-E-N or S-O-U-R-E-N?
Suren, S-O-U-R-E-N.
So there are the three of you.
So we were 3 hours.
Three of you. Did you go to school before the massacre?
Oh, yes. Before the massacre, I was only third grade. But
what recollections do you have of going to school when you were quite young?
You don't even talk about it. You know you had to go to school. My mother went to school only 2 days. But I was supposed to be a delicate child. My grandfather, my mother's father, used to say, she's so delicate. Why are you sending her to school? You know what she said? Even if she die, she has to go to school. That 2 days education meant so much to her.
Education was very important.
Oh, sure.
To these people.
Even now, what I did to her husband, everybody, to my other son, until now, if I come to the world again, I'm going to go born in a school.
Can you describe for me what the school looked like, the building?
The old building, when I they took me when I was kindergarten, even not even kindergarten. They used, before kindergarten, we used to go the class, which you want to know what the getting lessons, what it means. You sit all on the benches. They sit you with other children. But after that, you go to kindergarten. That's how I remember. But I always went to school. But I'm not boasting. I don't know why. They had called me one of the bright child. That I had that name on me.
Could both your parents read and write?
Not my mother, but my father not only could read and write, he had to learn Turkish too, because be having a store, he had to have an account writing what he was doing working, village boy, man.
Can you describe for me what you were like as a little girl?
I think, I don't know. I don't know why. Everybody wanted to hug me. Wherever I went, they used to hug me, kiss me. I don't know what I had. But my aunt used to say that if your mother gave you to somebody to hold, that was a privilege for them. Because I was a beautiful child. When I was going to have, the way my grandma, my aunt told me, my mother used to have hard time to bear a child. They were ready to put another side of the Turkish part, which they had hospital to be, but she didn't want to go. She had hard time, but she had me.
In the days before the massacre, what did your family do for entertainment?
They didn't have chance to entertainment anymore.
Was there anything that you did for fun, or maybe a game you remember playing as a little girl?
Like the other day, they were playing with wine, with cotton. You used to put on our hand, on our fingers, things like that. Or we had some kind of a stone, a little small. We used to play ourselves. We had no toy. But when it was winter night or something, what they teach from the school for singing, the older one used to ask us to sing for them. That's how we did.
Do you remember an Armenian song that you sang as a little girl?
Armenian song, that I don't... There is so many songs, I don't know which one to sing.
Okay.
Like we have a prayer. It's 24 stanzas. I know from one, I know even now I pray, because it has something to do to help you, God, to God to help you spiritually, mentally, physically, everything in it. I know all of them. I until now, every night I pray that. 24 stanzas.
And as you say, religion is very important to
your
family.
Oh, yes. When the war started, when the Turks started to massacre Armenians, they started in the city. All the educated men they put in the prison, they put their nails out from their feet and everything. Every time people, that time I didn't know, but from their face, I could tell what they were going through. I know, until now I remember. Because at night, after 9 o'clock, you wouldn't put any lamp or anything. You had to close it.
Do you remember when the massacre came to your town, when things got bad in your town? Can you tell me about that?
When they started coming to the towns on us, the woman used to go gather someplace to do praying. So they kept on doing, putting more prison on the men or teachers or whatever. They found out, they wanted to do something to blame us. We did wrong thing, which we didn't do the wrong thing. They made it, they put it in the prison to get away with it. Anyway, someday when...
No, not at all.
So one day when they came, they said... the women came together to pray. They said, God is not listening to us because we are grown up. They said to my mother, how about your daughter? Let her come here and pray for us. That's how I know all the prayers, because I prayed them. They didn't know, but I went there and prayed with them. Not only that one, that we have morning prayers, evening prayers, at night prayers, lot of prayers. I knew all of them. I still know.
So in this very difficult time, you really clung to your religion.
That's it. That's how I know. That's what I meant to do. That's why I know all the prayers I'm praying now.
So now what happened? Did the Turks round up the men first?
Happened? They round up the men first, and they took the men away first, and then women and children. My father came. He went to work. My father came back from the store. We said, "Why are you coming back? Why did you come back?" He said, "It has the government seal, locked it." You know what he?
Oh, you mean he went to work one day and he
couldn't
locked.
Go in. It was locked. I remember that. The only thing he was sorry for, his father's watch was there, which he was keeping like a souvenir all because it was his father's watch. He didn't talk about what he had, the whole store. He had three. One, the cellar, there was something. There was backyard, backside of the store. He used to put certain things. And the middle one, and the front one outside. Like sometimes they do outside. He had outside part too. I tell you this too. One day I took his lunch. On the way I saw they were doing the Turks store. The government throwing their cherry, things like that. I went with the pail in my hand. By crying, I went to my father's store. He says, "Mary, why are you crying?" I said, burning Miss Mehmet Ağa's, which Turkish name, Mehmet Ağa's cherries. She said, "Don't cry, because he's selling wormy cherries. That's why the government watches." I thought they would only do to the Armenians.
You're saying cherries.
Cherry, like, regular cherry. But it was wormy. He was selling. I guess they take care of those things sometimes, the government over there too. That I know.
So the Turkish government closed up Armenian businesses.
Armenian businesses.
And then was your father taken?
My father, no. They deported us without nothing. All day they gave us 3 days, I think, time. Whatever we could take, we took. Some of them could get buy animal. You had to have somebody to take care of what you have. So that's how we went. They started going in the desert.
Do you remember what you took with you?
I don't remember what. I don't know what they needed. That time I was a child. But I remember. All of them crying, some of them even carrying. They didn't have the money. They couldn't get animal to buy or to hire. One animal, I remember. He didn't want to go. He stopped, he didn't want to go. Because maybe he smelled the desert already. Because we went to the desert. I have, did you see the last war, desert people? I was one of them, on the sand. Always a knife with you or something to be killed, waiting for somebody. Nobody helped us. Here, they helped a lot of people. They helped them.
Did the Turkish soldiers escort
all of you? They escort. But at the same time, there were many on the road. And whoever they came, they could do anything they wanted.
How long did it take? To get, where were you going to Syria? Is that where
the we went to, all the way Syria, all the way back to Dersor, they used to call, all the way Raqqa, they used to call, which is a small village, which we went through the desert.
Did anyone get sick or die?
Oh, are you kidding? On the way, there was time the people who was living, Arabs, they were Arabs, who were living then, the river ran with blood. It was because the lots of Armenians were killed there.
If somebody died on the way, what would they do?
Live it there. They have nothing. Like when my father died, we didn't have to dig a place, so they put it as much as they could. After a couple of days, they said to him, "His body is out. You better go do something."
Did he die on that march? When did your father die?
He got some kind of disease. He only lived 3 days, because you know, those sick people, the dirt, disease, grew up. Even the Arabs used to say, you came, you brought disease with you. We didn't bring it. They took us there.
Did they give you food to eat during the march?
Who? Are you? Who's
the
going
Turkish?
To? No, they had. They nobody gave you anything. That's why they call a starving Armenian.
So they were marching you into the desert with hopes that you would die.
Sure.
That
was their intention. We did. Some of them, the Arabs, took it and kept it for themselves. Like one of my nieces, or two of them. Some Turk got it. I don't know where they are. I don't hear from them anymore.
They just took the women.
They just took the young girl. They took them.
Were there any kind Turks or kind Arabs along the way that tried to help somehow?
Arabs, I don't know. I know one of the Arabs had an Armenian girl, baby. She was 2 years old. She kept it for herself. But those Turks didn't. You don't want to go with the Turks anyway. They could get any time, anyone they want anyway.
Now, it's. At first, it's your mother and your father, and you and your brother. One brother has died already, correct?
Yes, I know, yeah.
So, and then your father dies along the way?
Along the way.
Where did you finally go to? Where did you finally stop the march?
Barbara, is Asongsel Chemuzer? Should I get Asongsel?
No, absolutely. You tell him the
truth. But Turkerun mezi hagarak yertandeyi kvakna.
She's afraid in describing all this.
What the Turk is doing, I'm afraid?
No, no.
There's nothing to be afraid about.
No,
oh,
please.
There are lots of Turks here.
In America, she's talking
about. Oh, no. In
nothing
fact, one reason that we've been interviewing so many Armenians this year is we're trying to get this story on tape before there are no people left who can tell. No, don't be afraid. That's why we're...
I don't care for me. I'm old already, but I have my children here. If they go, I give you one thing. When they married me to be supported, I didn't know what sex was. I didn't know what it was. I don't know what it meant. I wasn't that old. I was in the orphanage, but they married. Nobody talked about life. They were thinking living yet, dying, because we were thinking they came on the orphanage. That's a long story.
No, if you want to talk about what the Turks did, that's one reason why we're here, is to get it
so,
on tape. So yeah. Tell me what you remember.
So I remember that much. When we went to the desert, there was a river, which we call in Armenian Yepratket. We landed on the other side, and the village was on this side of the river. I don't know my father what gave to the men to give his boat to take his dad to the village site. He gave some, because we had to give something, otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Like money or something.
Oh, yes, the Arabs. When we went that site, my father, being immigrant, opened the business there, in open market. He didn't have money to hire a store or anything, in open place. He wasn't successful, people didn't have money to buy it. So he gave up that. So after a while, then he got that disease, he died. Well, we can. And there, one of my younger sisters got sick. She died there too. Both of them, father and the youngest, from his first wife, they were near each other.
So this little village was along the march?
No. From that on, a lot of other Armenians we saw coming from my city. They didn't let him in. They took Derzor, which more the desert place. They used to call Derzor there. Further in Syria. So that one of two nieces are there. I don't know what happened to them. We never heard from them.
Do you know how many people were traveling? I mean, how many Armenians were being taken, roughly?
I don't know. It was an old caravan. You could see all you want. One day. I was lucky. One day they put me on the mule, and they gave my brother, which I was here, on my lap. My brother was choking, choking because the wind, and not only wind, the dust comes with it. It's in deserts,
Somebody said, why don't you give that child a little water? Who had water? And some woman said, pee and wet his mouth. And another woman said, who's got water to pee? We had that kind of things. Anyway.
Would you say that the Armenians who are being taken, were you helpful to each other, or was it sort of every man for themselves?
How much can you? You don't know what you want. How much you haven't got yourself to help anybody. But if somebody came or some, like one of them, Arab, that Armenian girl was still living. When Arab or Turk taking her away on his donkey, she happened to have stick to the animal to make her walk.
Like a spur?
A spur. She did use that, the man's hand to get away. When she ran away, came to the caravan. That's how she saved her life.
Would people be shot along the way?
Sure.
If
there was just gendarme, which is supposed to be protected, if it's a little far away, they could take it and kill too.
Was it mostly women and children in this caravan, or were
mostly,
there men also?
Mostly children, old people, children and women. They took the men before, as I said, they took the men before everything else.
I see. Well, tell me a little bit about what happened once you got to where you were going.
Once we got to where we were going, my mother happens to have to be pregnant. I have a sister from.
Is she pregnant through this whole experience?
Oh yes.
What do you remember about her being pregnant during this?
I don't know now. I didn't know then. But we used to walk. With children were able, but every once in a while, my father used to put my mother on the mule. Because she couldn't walk anymore, I guess. Where I said it was in a barn, they brought they took her baby from her, in a barn. So that's how I know she was. I didn't know what pregnant meant. I didn't know she must be pregnant because she couldn't walk anymore. That's why my father put her on the mule for a short time at least.
When you say they took the baby from her, does that mean she never had the child? It was taken away from her.
So she had the child, which woman took from her. And she's still living. She's in this country.
I see. All right. So as we started saying, tell me about what happened when you got to your destination, which was in Syria, correct?
Well, when we went there, we heard that if you pay so much money, they used Aleppo, Syria, which Aleppo is a big city.
Right.
So I don't know what they found. They found a way to come. When I say way, whatever we got, they gave to make us to come us to Aleppo. But when we had no money, they brought us a small village. We didn't have money. In the village, they thought the parents already got, they were going to die. They tried to save me, being a young child. The other one, they were still young. They put me on a train. Somebody helped me on a train. I was coming like a wood, not as a person, because they set me on the wood. They tried at least maybe if I come to Aleppo, being a city, maybe I will be like. Otherwise, if I stay there, I would start. Whom they trusted? They trusted me to a woman. They used to work in a factory. That time they used to make stocking socks for the soldiers. I have done that too. They gave me that to make socks for them.
So you're taken away from your parents?
That's how I was taken away from my parents. When I came to Aleppo, that woman who said to my mother, don't worry, I take care of it. When she got in Aleppo, she had relatives. They came to take her home. She forgot me.
So this woman said to your mother, don't worry, I'll take care of your daughter, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then when you got to Aleppo, she just dumped you.
She just dumped me. She forgot me. I wasn't there. because she saw her family. I was, she didn't want, I guess, to be another burden to her family.
How old are you at this point?
This point, maybe I was about 10 years old.
So this whole process takes a few years, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. All this. So
what happened?
So when I went there, when they took me, I said to the woman, because she forgot me, I said to the woman who took me to take care of me, I said, is there anybody can tell me where the church is, Armenian church is? Sure, go this way, go that way. They didn't come with me. And 6, 7 years old, I was 10 years old maybe, I don't know. They just let me in the city with nobody, annoying nobody, nothing to go with.
And you never saw the woman again?
No. I didn't, because I didn't go there. Anyway, when I went there, I saw on the way someone who was coming with us, all that traveling. He had come the same way to Aleppo like we did. He saw me, he recognized me. He says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the church to see, to somebody make me take in. I have nobody. Because they told me my aunt was in Aleppo, but I didn't know where, I didn't know how. So she, you know what he said? He was my lifesaver. He said, don't worry, he said, Mary. I said, he's afraid to come outside because they were taking in the army, Turk army, to kill Armenian. So anyway, so he said, babies, your aunt will come to the church for soup. So when she comes, he said, you'll know her, then she'll tell you what to do. So I was, but that night, because there was no place, he took me in their house, in his house. You know what? When they gave me a little soup, I was afraid to eat. I was feeling that I was eating their share. I wasn't born to accept anybody's food. I still remember that. But he did. He said, eat a little bit.
And yet he was being very generous.
Oh, sure. Sure. So anyway, I slept that night in their house. Next day in the morning, he brought me back to the church again.
Do you remember how you felt as a little girl in this situation? Yeah, were you scared?
I'm telling you, I was feeling. Well, I cried when I didn't want to eat that food. I had feeling. I had come from a fine family. My everybody, when I talk my mother's name, they say refined family. But they had refined name. My family had refined name. My mother's, from my father's side, I don't know much. As I said, being my father young, he didn't have much. I don't remember even if they had.
Do you remember when the woman initially took you away from your mother and father? Do you remember if you wanted to go with her or if you wanted to stay with your mother and father?
No, I had to obey my mother. She thought that was the best for me. So I followed whatever she wanted to tell me. After that, when I went to the church next day again,
next day,
my aunt came for soup. She didn't want me because by that time I was like a skeleton. She didn't leave me the way I was looking that time because when she knew me as like a child, she knew. But by that time, starvation, no food, nothing, I was changed. I kept on telling our life story. She didn't believe me. She said, you must have heard from somebody, and you're telling me this to take care of you. She to take care of you. I said, no. But she didn't take. But after, this is amazing. Sometimes nature works differently. After she walked 2-3 steps away, she came back. She said, you don't look like my Mary. Much we used to call Mary, but you sound like her. That sound saved my life. You sound, because they used to say I was talking fast like my father. They used to say that, why are you talking? You're talking like your father. Until now, I talk a little fast. So that's how she took me in. After that, she took me to take care of me. And then after that, I had to go to the orphanage because they didn't have anything to give me to.
How did you get along with your aunt?
Which aunt?
This aunt who
took you? Oh, yeah. Until they came to this country, they were like parents to me. But when I went in the orphanage, for a long time, they don't call you by the name. They call you newcomers.
Well, now, you stayed with your aunt in Aleppo for how long?
That's it, until she sent me to the orphanage.
And then she sent, why did she send you to the orphanage?
Because she didn't have anything to give me to.
So she, everyone is in a bad
way. Sure. Nobody had anything. She didn't have anything to give me.
Did she have her own family?
No, they didn't have children.
Is this your mother's sister or your father's
sister? My mother's sister.
What was her name?
Also Mariam. So the one which was born from my mother in the desert, they adopted her. She is still living in this country.
So how long did you stay with your aunt before you went to the orphanage?
Not long. In fact, one day I went, they didn't take me in. They said, you have mother. If you have mother, they didn't take me in.
You mean to the orphanage?
To the orphanage. The second time I went again, I said, my family, you didn't try hard enough. My aunt said, maybe you didn't try hard enough to go to the orphanage. Next day when I went, there was an English woman there by the name Miss Eneki. The way I spoke to her, she says, this child has nobody. We have to send her to orphanage. That's how they put me in the orphanage. When I didn't go home, they didn't look for me, my family, because they said she went to the orphanage. A couple of days later, they came to the orphanage to check if the orphanage took me in. When I went to the orphanage, they gave me, put me in bed. I don't know. When they gave me a quilt, if you went like this, you get lice. I couldn't sleep.
It was very dirty.
Very dirty and licey.
Who ran the orphanage?
Oh, they called Haronian Orphanage. Most of them, I think, in the hands of English people. Because when the Turks came over the orphanage to kill the orphans too, like they did some other orphanage, the English soldiers saved us.
So did your aunt come and visit you when you were in the orphanage?
Sometimes. Otherwise, sometimes I used to go. Sometimes later on, they didn't let us go there too. To visit too.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the orphanage looked like?
It has a big, big ground and rooms, separate rooms. They put in a room. Everyone had a room.
Were the girls separated from the boys?
Yes. Boys had different building. The girls had different building.
How did they feed you at the orphanage?
In the orphanage, as I said, even in the orphanage, they used to give me a bowl. They used to put 7 hours, a bowl, tea. And we didn't have bread. We didn't have nothing. We had a spoon, just to take with a spoon a little bit. That day, because I was used to waiting for my father to start eating, I used to wait there too. One of the girls, which I know why she was watching me, next day she says to me, why do you wait until they start? Why don't you go with them? At least take a few more spoon more tea. I wasn't used to. Please. But she used to bother. She used to tell me what to do.
It's a good thing you had her. You wouldn't have any food.
But the thing is, the food, I don't know. They used to give you that for breakfast. And for lunch, sometimes maybe half a slice of bread. Or sometimes they used to give us a peach or something. That was for lunch. And at night, they used to cook something in the bag. They used to give a little bit something. I don't know. That time, I don't know what cooking was.
Most of the children in the orphanage, had their parents died already?
Most of them brought from Arabs home. Some of them with disease.
Were they all Armenians?
No, all Armenians. English people, what do you call?
Like missionaries? No,
missionary picked them up. Whatever they could, they brought to the orphanage.
How long did you stay in the orphanage?
I think I stayed there in the orphanage 2 years.
Oh, a long time.
Oh, a long time. I had no place to go. My aunt couldn't support me.
Was your aunt, did she live in Aleppo all that time?
Her husband, my aunt's husband was a shoemaker. She got a job. But they used to live on that, but they didn't have enough to support me too. Besides, at least in the orphanage, they were giving me some education. When I came to this country, I had more French than English.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what did they teach you when you were in the orphanage?
Well, it was, they didn't send me in the young children's because I was 10 years old. That by that time, I was too old to start to go from the beginning. They put me in old people, some of them women, everybody. They put me in there. They used to, I used to, whatever they taught, one day only I had geography lesson. Only one day, because they didn't bring book. They were supposed to give us book to study. They didn't bring book. So anyway.
But you learned French when you were in the orphanage.
When I had the chance, after the school, French was different building. French and English was different building. When I had, after I came from my school, I used to go that school to learn French and English. Most of the time, I was so good for the French. The French teacher said, why don't you come to the higher class? I said, no, how about if I do left back? No, she said, I trust you, you won't be left back. You know more than the other ones. I didn't take that chance. But this woman was Armenian, but listen, her family. She was left orphan, 2 years old, in the street. A French couple, which was Armenian mother and French husband, they took her in. That's why she knew Armenian and French.
We need to pause here so that I can go put another tape in the machine.
Okay.
We're going to pause right now with Mary Asadourian.